is the holidays, as we say, the holiday season. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit this morning, but if you ponder for a minute, what is a holiday to you? What's holiday?
A day we don't have to work.
Okay.
That's probably good.
What would be a holiday for you?
Where you celebrate something.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Say meal.
Okay. Meal, all right.
Getting together with people and family.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about it before, but I suppose it comes from Holy Day.
It does.
Okay.
The original word was Holy Day.
Yes.
It's changed to Holiday.
Mm.
And back in the day, I mean, basically those would be the days off that people would have, because it would be a celebration of an event in the church. So, any ideas of what would make a good holiday for you? Those things, obviously, but if you were to go on holiday or have a holiday, a week off, for example, what would do nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, do what?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, absolutely nothing, okay?
Can't do that. No, I can't.
Well, not absolutely nothing. Yes, Larry, thank you for putting the point
anyway,
on the
to do
eye.
Something different than what you do normally.
Okay, out of the routine.
Something you hopefully enjoy.
Okay.
You could maybe, like, a day of just rest.
Okay. All right, resting,
that's
doing nothing.
I like resting.
Something you enjoy. What else? What would be a favorite holiday? Just that, basically.
Yeah.
Don't leave the house. Don't have to get dressed. Just hang out.
Watch movies.
Family. Oh, it's nice to get together with family.
Okay. So this is the season of holidays. I put a little picture there at the top, and you know that's kind of my idea of a holiday. So. Just in case you ever want to send me on holiday, there's an idea for you. Just, but so just as an introduction here, this I'm just saying not required. Rushing, worrying, getting tired and frustrated, shopping and more shopping, wrapping, baking, decorating, cleaning, dressing up, hosting parties, spending, and of course paying. When someone is overheard saying that they're glad Christmas is over. Maybe you've already said it. Two things spring to mind. The first is that today is only the sixth day of Christmas. And second, Christmas will, mercifully, never be over because it's the celebration of the lodestone of our salvation and miracle of our new life. That should forever and always silence our bah humbugs. But what somebody or somebody's plural, they've kind of co-opted what Christmas is. And it's become all of these things that I said are not required. And so, you know, the trite little expression now that you see on bumper stickers and you've heard everywhere, and Sue's included it once more in the email, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's kind of this catchy little phrase and whatever, and it rhymes and it's cool. But even for us, as believers, even for those who've been captivated by the love of this one who has come, it's sometimes really hard to maintain a focus that Jesus is the reason we're doing all of this, worrying and rushing and planning and organizing and setting up and baking and decorating and all the stuff we do. And we say, yeah, we kind of enjoy that. But you know, lots of people, and maybe some of us present, have said at one time or another, I'm really glad it's over because it's exhausting. And, you know, I sometimes annoy my wife by, like, on the 25th of June, and I'll just say something stupid like, just six more months. And the response is not usually positive. It's just like, don't talk about it yet. So, you know, I think what we need is a reminder of what it is that we are celebrating, why we celebrate, and what do these other things really have to do with that? And I'm not saying that they don't have anything to do with it. I think, you know, anytime we celebrate, we go overboard, we do extra things, we buy extra stuff. Giving gifts is always an interesting and exciting thing to do because we enjoy seeing pleasure on someone's face when they get the right thing. And so there are a lot of things that we might do in celebration, but I think we have so many voices. We sing one of the songs I've heard, all kinds of voices, and they kind of tell us that this is what we have to do. And so it's almost like somebody else gives us our agenda, and then we're like rats in a maze. We just keep going and going and going and going and doing all these things that we think need to be done in order for it to be successful. And we don't really stop sometimes and go, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I exhausting myself and staying up all night long getting things ready and organized and finished and wrapped and on, when that's really not the central thing? So if all we do is to think about why we're doing this, I think it makes a big difference. So there's a song by Shane and Shane, a group that I happen to like, but they have this song called Holiday. And so I wanted to look at it today, and I wanted to kind of spend some time working at it this morning and seeing what you think of it. And then if it works, we'll hear it, actually. So, but here are the lyrics to their song. This is their worship song, which I think is just really cool. They say, "You are my holiday. You are right in the middle of me. You are my hideaway. You are home. I'm calling out your name, oh my holiday. You make my heart new, and I love you. What it is I'm trying to say, you are my favorite part of me." And just really interesting concepts, things that you might think about. So I want to kind of go through line by line in this a little bit and think of what is scriptural truth and what reminds you of scripture? Like the first line, "You are my holiday." So we've talked about what our holiday is, rest and time with family and friends and whatever. But here they're singing this song of worship to Jesus, and they're saying, "You are my holiday." What does scripture say that would kind of go, yeah, that works? Can you think of anything in scripture that we kind of fit with what we've said is a holiday, and now these guys are saying, "You are my holiday"?
The Lord is our Sabbath.
Yeah, yeah. So how is Jesus all the things that you look forward to on a holiday?
He is our rest. He is our peace.
Mm-hmm.
Our true rest, our true peace.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of that scripture, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah, from Matthew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that.
And all the holy days, all the feasts of the Lord. He's lined up, he is the Passover lamb, and that he is the light from Hanukkah. He is the first fruits, the bread, all the different things from the different feasts.
Yeah, so going back to the name, the word holy day, actually the whole idea of holiday is wrapped up in Jesus. Because they're all celebrations, they're holy days of the church throughout the year. And he's, none of those would even happen if it weren't for Jesus. I mean, they're holy days.
And that doesn't mean holy in the sense of shut up and be somber and, beat yourself with the whatever
Yeah, the hyssop.
Walk across broken glass.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is what it meant when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I remember one of the things I hated about Sunday. Isn't that terrible to say? I hated things. But we weren't even allowed to ride our bikes because that was too enjoyable. You know, it's like, what a sick misinterpretation of what it means. But anyway, you know, we've kind of survived and grown out of some of that silliness. But I was thinking of Psalm 16:11, you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Just like all these pleasurable things that we yearn for, and opportunity, you know, to rest and have, and I think part of the resting is no obligations. You know, no meals to prepare, don't have to get dressed up, don't have appointments to take care of, don't have rushing around to do, no laundry to do, no cleaning to do, just a full 24 hours of just, I get to do whatever I feel like doing. And none of those things you feel like doing. No. Although Sue did say something yesterday that I think needs to be a new motto for me. You know, she was going to go do something, and I said, oh. And she goes, I'm going to do that because I don't feel like it, or I don't want to. I said, yeah, I think that's probably what I should do is I need to do things because I don't want to. So, but Jesus then is our holiday. He is the source. He's the one who gives us life. He's life itself. He's come. He's changed everything. He's given us hope and peace and joy and love, like Keith was talking about earlier. He is that one. He's the one that Vincent mentioned in his note to us that in the days of all the civil unrest in France, I mean, Jesus is our hope. He's the reason. He's the active one who's there being and reminding us of an order that we don't necessarily see. And when people are riding in the streets, obviously we don't see that there's somebody in charge. And yet Scripture makes it plain through all the Old and New Testament that God is actively in charge. He's the God of the heavens. He is the one who sees, the one who watches over you, never slumbers. I mean, he's always at work. He's always on task. And so Jesus is our holiday. And
he's
in that sense.
He's also family, really. True family.
Yes, because we've been adopted into his. And we've been included. We've been made co-heirs. Yeah, I mean, it's really awesome. So when we, for those, you know, the times we said, I'm glad Christmas is over, we're like, whoa, wait a minute. Christmas is Jesus. So we don't want that to be over. I love this next phrase. You are right in the middle of me. Any scripture that comes to mind when you think, you are right in the middle of me? I went to Acts 17:28, but I want to read this. This is, I mean, Luke is writing Acts, but Paul is standing up. So in Acts 17, verse 22, starting there, Paul stood up in the Areopagus, he's in Athens, and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." In him we live and move and have our being. So 24/7, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, whoever we're with, our times of busyness, our times of rest, Jesus is there. In him we live and move and have our being. He just saturates the entirety of our lives. He is our life. He is our breath. We sang, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. So he's not just up there, out there, you know, somewhere out there, as the song says. Kind of drives me crazy, but, you know, you are my holiday, but you're right in the middle of me. So we carry a precious treasure wherever we go, whether we're on noble tasks or we're up to dastardly deeds. We carry this one with us who is our life. In him we live and move and have our being. What about you are my hideaway? Any scripture pop up, you're my hideaway? Did you ever make tents as kids or like out of blankets and crawl in and hide or under branches of trees or wherever? So you are my hideaway.
So that's funny because earlier I was joking around and talking about taking the cushion. When was the last time you took the cushions? Or did you ever take the cushions off the couch and furniture and make a little tent, little cabin, little fort?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Psalm 17:8.
17:8. Yeah, read.
Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of the wings.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to Psalm 91:2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so hide away, and how many times is God referred to as a refuge? My strong tower, my hiding place, my city of safety. And rock, yes. Rock, my fortress, my hideaway. And you are home. You know, that's something about, you know, you say every, you know, man's home is his castle. But, you know, at the end of a really busy day or a really busy time or even a time away from home, after being away on vacation or away at some meetings or whatever, you know, it's wonderful to come back home again and to not live in a suitcase and have everything familiar and just you're more at rest than you are when you're away. And so he said, they said, you are our home. You are home. Does Jesus feel like home to us? If we stop to think, wow, that's right. He's not just my life. He's home. And then he said, I'm calling out your name. Oh, my holiday. I don't know, when I was looking at these words, I mean, I've liked this song for a while, but you know, think of calling Jesus my holiday. You're that time away. You're that rest. You're that place I find pleasure. You're the restoration that I desperately need. And you make my heart new. Does Scripture say anything about that?
Create in me a new heart.
That's the verse I went to, Psalm 51:10. Yeah. David, after he was confronted about his sin with Bathsheba, and he just says, create in me a clean heart. And you restore, you make my... Restore my heart. Or it's in Isaiah, that you'll replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh? Is that Isaiah?
Ezekiel.
Yeah,
that's Ezekiel 36:26.
Okay. Do you have it there?
Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Okay. You make my heart new. And growing up, we always made this, I received, at least in my thinking, I perceived that there was this great separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the two didn't really correspond. And one of my favorite things when I went to college, to Bible school, and taking overview courses of Old and New Testament, and seeing how seamless the two are, it was so amazing. I just never really saw how one complements the other, and it's a continuity. And so you make my heart new. When we think of things in the Old Testament, they get born out in the New Testament. Jesus is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies. Anything else? Any other verses? You make my heart new. And they say, and I love you. And then I really love this last part. What it is I'm trying to say, you are my favorite part of me. That I really like the idea that Jesus is the favorite part of me. There's a lot that's of me that's not my favorite part, that's for sure. And, you know, to think that Jesus is my favorite part of me, I just like the imagery that he dwells and he manifests himself, he shows himself. And I saw Psalm 43:4, and the psalm says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight." So, We delight in him. He is the source. He's the one we go to. He's always present, always active, always looking. And it's important also that we recognize this. We were given testimonies last week of various things that we were all talking about. So many of the things we talked about were hard things where we met Jesus, where we met him, where he showed himself faithful, where he showed his love to us. How he proved himself a loving, faithful father. And it was pretty much always in the hard times, through death and through loss and through pain and painful circumstances and physical pain. And then through the kind of the agony and the ecstasy of waiting for babies to be born and all of that. And so there were struggles all the way through. Life is full of struggles, as Jesus promises us. And yet we find him always to be faithful. And, you know, when I've often kind of felt badly that I actually recognize his love and his faithfulness and his provision through the hard times. It's that they're what gets my attention. And, you know, maybe if we could see him as our holiday and as our favorite part of us, you know, that we would have an easier time celebrating and not feeling sorry for ourselves and feeling like he's left us all by ourselves. But he never leaves us or forsakes us. That's his promise. But he said, I'm with you to the very end of the age, until your last breath. I am right there. And I will be right in the middle of you. And I'll be your hideaway and your home. I'll make your heart new. I'll receive your love. And when you say, I'm your favorite, the favorite part of you, then I think that rejoices his heart as well. So what I would, you know, kind of like us to do is just be able to, if we can, is the song ready? You know.
Okay.
And just be able to listen as they sing the song, and they will. Get our hearts ready for communion. You're nothing like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, so don't even think that.
But keep this down.
Oops. Oh, up there.
Thinking of a very
secular
song, you know. It's,
got it
ready? Wild thing. You make my heart sing.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
Some people talk about the wild heart of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
He's so revolutionary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really.
Make it bigger.
When the facts are hidden in the
sorry.
Shadows.
Advertisement, please.
Sources go silent. Because they're risking so
skip
much more.
Skip ad.
And every,
okay. Sorry about that.
Sugar and diabetes. Symptoms have nothing
to do with sugar.
Hope we didn't record that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Don't worry. That's important for me.
Well, Father, this morning we may just need to rethink Christmas and holiday as we ponder the fact that you are our holiday. You are right in the middle of us. Father, help us to recognize afresh as this year comes to an end and the new year opens up before us that you're also a God of the weekday, and you accompany us, and you're our provision, and you show your love to us in unique and multifaceted ways, and you show your love through us in many and multifaceted ways as well. So we never draw a breath, we never inhale or exhale without you. You are the air we breathe, your breath in our lungs. You're our holiday. Father, could you set our hearts at peace in the fuller understanding that you truly are more than enough, that you do, as Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, exceedingly more than all we could ever ask or think. It's because of who you are. And so even in our most fatigued, stressed, fearful times, would you remind us that you are not just near, but you are in us and with us and for us? So that regardless of what voices speak around us to say that things are horribly messed up, whether it's from politics or pollution or poverty or whatever the urgent issues are of the day that cause and can cause us to lose track of how central you are and how amazing you are and how great you are. So cause us in the midst, Father, that we would go into the everyday, ordinary stuff of life filled with you, filled with an understanding of how powerfully present you are. And that regardless of circumstances, regardless of what the voices and the various parts of media and whatever try to convince us is the truth, with all their fear-mongering and warmongering and on, that while that's true, it is true on such a small scale compared to who you are. When you came as a baby in a manger, you were bigger than the whole world. And you've always been Lord. Isaiah's prophecy says that of the increase of your rule and reign and government, there is no end. And here we are, we find in you a hideaway. You're our refuge, our safe place from the storms. So in this last Sunday morning of 2018, before we head into and turn the page or put up new calendars and have to figure out how to add a 9 at the end of every year now when we write the date, could we go into it with that full understanding of how big you are and how protected we are in you? So that when we do respond to the issues of our day, we do so with a full understanding that you're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the creator of all things. And you're in charge. And you watch over us and you never slumber, you never sleep. So come to this time, we come to your table this morning as you've reminded us to do on a regular basis here. And so it's fitting at the end of this year, we take these two symbols, this bread, symbol of your broken body for us, and the cup that we dip the bread in as a reminder of your shed blood, which bought us. Father, could life in you never be blotted out, never be confused, never get muddied, never be foggy because of the other voices. But could first and foremost, everywhere we go, every thought be kept captive to you, because you want us to know the provision of life and love. So we bless you for these moments this morning to ponder you as our holiday here this morning. Thanks for your constant invitation to come to the table. We bless you, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen.